Welcome to Real Paranormal Activity, the network. Entertainment you'll enjoy.
You are listening to an RPA production, where people gather. Ladies and gentlemen, RPA is proud to present Aaron's Horror Show with Aaron Frail.
Baby, it's time to ride the funk train. This is Funkmaster V with Wrestling with Ghosts and AsideParanormal.com. Babies, you're listening to Aaron's Horror Show.
Welcome to Aaron's Horror Show Season 3, and I'm your host, Aaron Frail. We're going to go ahead and talk about movies, TV, and read some fiction. If you want to get hold of the show, you can go ahead and go to Facebook.com, Aaron's Horror Show, or you can go to Twitter.com, Aaron Horror Show, or you can go ahead and send us an email at aaronshorrorshow@gmail.com. You can also go ahead and support the show by going to patreon.com/Aaron Frail. Thank you so much for listening, and enjoy the show.
Welcome to Aaron's Horror Show, and I'm your host, Aaron Frail. How is everyone doing tonight? Well, I don't know what to talk about. How's this? Lucifer. Oh, detective. if you don't know Lucifer, other than the devil, prince of darkness, prince of lies, best dressed. Devil's usually pretty good dressed, you know, just saying. Lucifer is a series that used to be on Fox that is now been taken over by Netflix, and my wife and I have been watching it since season one, and I think I might have actually done a Lucifer review, so this is mainly going to be a Lucifer review of the, you know, latest season, so the one that just came out on Netflix like a week ago, as of recording this. By the time you listen to this, it's going to be a month ago, 2 months ago, I don't know. I record stuff way in advance, as I probably have said before, of when the release is coming of the episode. So anyways, Lucifer on Netflix, spoiler alert, lots of spoilers. Go ahead and watch it. I'll wait for a long time because you could pause me. Wouldn't that be neat if every time you paused something, it did that? Like it had pause music? No, that'd probably annoy people. But anyways, you're back. So, Lucifer is a series about the devil and his girlfriend detective, and they fight crime, or should say solve it, in a police procedural show. Now, when, you know, I think I might have already said this, but I'm going to reiterate just so you know the series. When this first came out, the previews did not do it justice. I remember thinking, like, looking at the previews for Lucifer and just said, oh, that looks dumb, and I never watched it. Like, all the promos that Fox was doing at the time, and, we were watching stuff on Hulu, and you see a commercial, like, 50 billion times, because they don't have anything in their software that says, hey, you've already seen this commercial, so you see it, like, every commercial break or something like that. Yeah. seems like a programming flaw to me. Just, like, you know, a little overkill. And, I don't know, as an advertiser, would I want them to see the commercial 50 times and be annoyed by it? Probably not. So, anyways, commercials didn't really do it justice. I didn't watch the first season on the air, but then my wife watched it because, you know, she's a sucker for police procedural shows, and for me, they have to be really good or really funny shows like that in order for me to really watch them. You know, for the Crime of the Week show, I have to really, like, they have to be funny, really, is what it boils down to. And then Lucifer actually was that. It's a great comedy, police procedural slash supernatural type of show. So, you know, obviously, if the devil's a main character, it's dealing with angels and demons and heaven and hell and wars with heaven and you know, demons coming to Earth and all this other kind of stuff that you would see in a show like that. But there's also, like, a crime of the week and somebody gets murdered and they kind of sleuth out the mystery of the murder every week. And then in addition to all this other stuff going on, Neil Gaiman, the author, created the characters from the Sandman series. Neil Gaiman, American Gods, is probably the one that everyone knows him for, but I've read a lot of his other books and I like him. He's great. He's a fantastic author. So if you ever get a chance to read one of his books, go for it. If not, watch the show. And anyways, what happened with the show was it was on Fox for the longest time, and then it got canned and by Fox, which was very worst ending of a show ever. most annoying ending of a show. In fact, when we saw that it was canceled, my wife actually said, "No!" Like, really, you know, like, how could they do such a thing? Because the way that they end, you know, the entire time, Chloe, the detective that, you know, Lucifer's in love with, and you could tell that she's kind of in love with him, doesn't know that he's really the devil. And then, you know, at the end of the last season on Fox, she literally sees him in his, like, angelic devil form, right at the very end, and he has to, like, use his, like, superpowers to save her, because he has to, like, take down a bunch of people, so she literally figures out that he's, you know, the devil, and then the season's over, and then they cancel the show. So they literally, like, spend the entire series building to something and then decide to just cancel it when they do it. So luckily Netflix came in, and I don't know what they did. They bought out the show, or maybe the people that, you know, the actors had a big stake in the show and took it to Netflix. I don't know what happened, but they brought it to Netflix. Netflix made a season, and it was good. It wasn't the best season, but we were happy that it was back, and it had resolved a lot of the stuff that was promised to resolve in that ending from Fox. And then here comes the season that just came out recently, and boom, mic drop, mind blown, best season of, like, television ever. Like, like, I really don't know. Like, I thought I guess maybe when it returned to Netflix, I thought it was a pretty good season. I was really happy that they were making the show again. But this season that came out made that first Netflix season look like super lame by comparison. Like they made this new season and it was just so good. I mean, first off, it was really funny. Like, I, like, laugh out loud funny. Like, there were so many good, brilliant moments of humor in there that kind of make me jealous, like in the sense that, like, I want to write something that funny, you know what I mean? Like I like writing, obviously, you know, for longtime listeners of the show, you know, I wrote a book called Christmas Elf Secret Agent. So, obviously I enjoy writing comedy, and they really blended it very well. There were some really brilliant episodes in this season. And then on top of that, the storyline was really kind of, you know, like, building in such a way, like, the Lucifer and Chloe got together, you know, in a formal relationship, and, you know, they found a way to keep it interesting and relevant, and, you know, they also brought in a twin brother of Lucifer, the archangel Michael, which, you know, I know the twin brother is kind of a cheesy scenario for a lot of things, but I felt it really worked in this, and, you know, it was already part of the mythos that they set up, you know, in the sense that they're all angels and you know, sons of God, basically, and, you know, because they all refer to God as Father, and then what's really amazing is at the very end of this season, God actually shows up, and it's the Allstate guy, except I don't really think of him as the Allstate guy. I think of him from this other series that was a very good series on sci-fi. It was about basically this sort of corporate town. It was basically like the future in this sort of really kind of dark but scarily might happen way. I forgot the name of this series, but it was produced by Ben Affleck, I believe. Maybe Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. But anyways, it was on sci-fi, and this was the one series that really painted the future in a very believable way. Like, science fiction, for the most part, like Star Wars is a great example. It's really fun to think about, but it's not, like, incredibly realistic as far as, like, physics are concerned. Or realistic of, like, what could happen in the future, But this sci-fi series with the Allstate guy, it was very realistic, and basically the premise of that series...
Welcome to Codependence, the weekly podcast that gives you direct access to me, Maya Allen, and my sis, Sierra Miller. Every week, we give you insider access into our sisterhood and lives. Part self-help and part comedic relief, Codependence is all about letting your guard down. Expect a lot of laughs and maybe some tears as we navigate this crazy world together. Join us every Wednesday for this funny, tea-spilling, shade-throwing podcast.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Was, the people that worked for the corporations all lived in this nice, tidy city, and everyone else lived in, like, shanty towns that surrounded the city and were super dirt poor. So there was, like, basically the haves and the have-nots, and corporations had so much power in America at that point that literally they had, secret police that were, like, literal, secret police in the sense that they would, like, if they think an employee was stealing corporate secrets, they would take the employee into a dark room and torture him for answers. And, have this corporate goon that was just, like, torturing people. And the guy torturing people, that was the Allstate guy, And so while we were watching the series and he would be, like, torturing someone, we would be like, "Are you in good hands?" That was our joke. And so whenever I think of that guy, I think of that television series. It was only on for one season. Like, they canned it after one season. But I just think of him as this corporate, like, spook that is, like, abducting employees in the middle of the night and trying to figure out if they're stealing company secrets, that's why there's a commercial where the guy walks into, you probably, if you watch Netflix or Hulu or Amazon or whatever, the ones that, probably not Netflix because they don't have commercials, but if you've seen streaming television, you've probably seen this commercial where the Allstate guy walks into, like, a restaurant, and all the people there are like, safe driver save 40%. They're all like, "Hey, it's the Allstate guy," they're all really excited. And I was just thinking, if I were in that situation, I would not be excited by him being the Allstate guy. I'd be like, "Dude, it's that corporate fixer that will, like, torture you for information. Oh my god." I'd be like, "Dude, you played such a scary character in that series that got canned after one season." So yeah, that would be my reaction in that. But anyways, that guy comes in as God. So, once again, if I go back to the other character and blend something, he comes in at the end of Lucifer and says, "You're in good hands." Yeah, see, I told you, "You're in good hands" has a whole creepy meaning when it's... When it's some weird espionage dude. So anyways, side note, that's one sad thing about Netflix is that Netflix has a equation that they use when they decide to cancel a series. it's cost to make versus viewership. And so they, you know, if there's a certain amount of money that this is going to cost to make the television series, but this is how many viewers it's having, they cancel it. The same thing with sci-fi. Sci-Fi Network will make this calculation too of, you know, here's how many people are watching, here's how much it costs. You need a certain amount of people watching or else we cancel it, you know. So it's a cost versus, you know, how many people are there watching in order to have it. And I kind of find that really sad for genre fiction, like science fiction and horror, and anything that requires, like, special effects budgets, because I feel those are naturally going to be more expensive to make. And you might have a really good series that just doesn't, you know, get to have more seasons because there's not enough viewers. Like, I just find that to be kind of a, you know, I find that to do undue pressure on the artist, because really when you think about it, you know, good science fiction is going to require some funding to make, and it's going to require special effects, and it's going to require costumes, and it's going to require all sorts of stuff that, say, a sitcom with people sitting in their living rooms not going to have, you know what I mean? And so I feel like when they start making just purely monetary decisions like that, they kind of shortchange horror and science fiction mainly, because what they're doing is they're, you know, either requiring those particular people to write kind of either cheesy or very, very reduced, limited character scripts, so they can't do anything major in scope, you know, or there are, you know, putting something that has probably a very good and decent following and could be profitable, and just saying, well, it's not profitable enough. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I just don't find that fair. I think what you get like that, I don't know, when you get that sort of budget-mindedness of making television movies, that's when I feel you start getting just, like, buttloads of crap. You know what I mean? You know, in the sense that either it's going to be this major blockbuster motion picture, or it's going to be something that they can make for the cost of a Buick. You know what I mean? Like, that is your two choices. You either can do it for the cost of a small economy car, or you are going to have to use all the money in the world because you're going to get all the viewers in the world. And they just eliminate all the good stuff that happens to fall in between by doing that. And that's where I feel the genre suffers. I would, you know, personally speaking, I would love to see a company that just makes good television that, so long as it's profitable, they keep it going, you know, like that show that I was telling you about with the Allstate guy as the corporate fixer. That show, I think, had like a decent viewership. I think there was like 1 million viewers or something. I'm like, you know, guys, you can make a profit off 1 million viewers. You know what I mean? Like that's that. I don't know exactly how much you make, but yeah, why, you know, why not? Especially, you know, like, I get for cable channels, they only have 24 hours a day to show stuff, but, you know, for Netflix, like, why not? You know what I mean? Like, if you have a couple of mid-list shows that maybe don't get as much downloads and much viewership as the very, very big ones that everyone's watching, why not? You're just going to have more people watching Netflix, because, you know, what happens with someone like me, like, eventually I just stop watching Netflix because I go, there's nothing on that I like, you know, and just go to another service that's going to offer what I want to watch, you know what I mean? So, you know, I feel, I don't know, I've always felt like catering to just the most amount of viewers as possible is just as bad as making something obscure that only like 3 people are going to enjoy. You know what I mean? Like trying to, yeah. So anyways, that's sort of just my personal opinion, but anyways, back to Lucifer, you know, when we were watching, it said 1 in the US for that week. So hopefully that means there's enough viewers to keep Lucifer going, because I thought it was a really good show and I thought they're doing a very good job. And like I said, that latest season, man, there was something incredibly special about it. Like, I just, Yeah, I just really enjoyed it. Like my wife and I just binge watch that thing, and binge watching for us is obviously watching one episode a night until we're done, and then going to bed early. But still, very fun. So yeah, if you get a chance, go ahead and put on Lucifer and enjoy. I believe every season is on Netflix, so if you haven't seen it, you got a whole lot of stuff to watch. And yeah, it's getting really, really good. And I'd also tell you, I'd tell you if I saw something that looks like it's like filmed after COVID-19 started. And I'm pretty sure this latest season of Lucifer might have been in the middle of filming when things locked down, because there were, Lucifer has a nightclub, and there's a lot of scenes where there's a bunch of people dancing, and then there's there was a scene where like some people were protesting, and there was like a lot of scenes with a lot of people. So I'm pretty sure they did get some filming in, but there was also a lot of scenes that seemed weirdly empty of people. Like there was this one scene where Lucifer and Chloe were talking after a bomb had went off, and they were standing in like the rubble of the bomb, and there was no one else there. It was just the two actors, just, and this is in like in the middle of LA. So like a bomb goes off in LA, and there's just two people there. And what was funny is they had already established that there was a group of like protesters nearby to where the bomb went off. So, there's obviously people like in the vicinity of the area, and obviously they're in the middle of L. You think there would be people walking around after this like bomb blows up a building, I mean, yes, the building's empty, but like still there would be someone around, and it just shows like both the two of them standing in the rubble, and they kind of try to like show that, oh no, it's just because it just happened. And at the end of the scene you could hear sirens, like the police are coming to react to this bomb going off, and so there's kind of that. But I don't know, it really made me think, was this filmed because of COVID-19 in the way that it was? Were they just like trying to get in extra shots? Because there was a couple shots here and there throughout the entire series that felt like strangely devoid of any people. Like they had no other choice but to film it with like no people. Because, I imagine if I was an actor and, working and on a TV show, and they said, hey, let's get a limited amount of people and let's just finish it up, I'd do it, especially if it was only me and my like co-star that I'm used to working with, that if that person had COVID, more than likely I would already have it, 'cause like like she like they kissed each other a lot, so they would have given each other COVID if either of the one had it. So why not finish the series up? Yeah, so there's a couple scenes like that I felt were post-COVID filming, and it ended rather abruptly. Like I felt like they were building a whole lot of cool stuff, and then the last episode felt like they're like, okay, let's get through this really quickly. Okay, let's lock Chloe in a cage where strangely like it's an abandoned zoo, so there's no one around, right? You know what I mean? And then, oh, let's, by the way, have a fight between the Celestials, and we can blue screen it to where it looks like they're in the precinct. And like I kind of felt like there was a couple of things going on that felt like it was just sort of, I don't know, post-COVID filming is what I'll call it. Maybe not. I could be wrong about that. Anyways, thank you for listening, and have a good night. Listen to all our cool shows. We got Aaron with ghost stories. We got Terry with cool stuff. We have me, Aaron, with my stories and some movie reviews. And then there is also lots of shows to watch and entertaining shows to watch too. Fiction. So check it out. All right, have a good night.